This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know what that means. The return of the youngest in charge right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Sitting in for my guy Craig Hoffman for the next couple of days. First of all, shout out to the regular host of this program for the athletic feat he accomplished over the weekend. I just saw the pictures go up on the old Instagram. Craig Hoffman was running all weekend long. He will be back in the saddle on Thursday, if I am not mistaken. But until then, we will keep you up to speed with the latest and greatest around the Beltway. Busy, busy Tuesday in our nation's capital. Programming note coming up top of the 5 o'clock hour. Our pal Mitch Tisler going to join us for Tuesdays with Tischler right here on the Hoffman Show, a staple of the Hoffman Show. We're keeping everything on track here the next couple of days. We'll ask Mitch a couple of different things about the burgundy and gold, and I promise we'll ask him about football because it seems like the number one conversation right now surrounding this football team is in regards to the information we got earlier this afternoon. There was some movement on the Washington Commander Stadium front, a bill giving the District of Columbia long-term control over the RFK site for a potential new Commander Stadium. It passed the Senate committee, advancing to the Senate floor for a full vote. And people around the organization tend to feel like today was the hardest step and the biggest obstacle in potentially getting a new Commander Stadium back in the district. And we'll touch on that in detail as we roll throughout the show here this afternoon. But to me, that is probably the biggest piece of information we've got going on right now locally, unless you got to see last night. Alex Ovechkin scoring twice in the Caps 6-2 win over Utah, moving within 27 goals of breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goal-scoring record, goals 14 and 15 of the season last night for Alex Ovechkin. And when you think about how long Ovi has been at the top of his game, this stat honestly makes my jaw drop. His 100th career multi-goal road game, 17 more than any player in NHL history. So the level that Alex Ovechkin is doing it at, I don't got to tell you that what he's doing is absolutely special. But when you continue to hear some of the nuggets come out statistically in terms of just how great he actually has been, always knocks my socks off, always super impressed by what old buddy continues to do. And I know you all got to hear from Dr. Russell earlier today, but that to me is kind of like the rain on this parade. I was talking to Grant Paulson earlier today, and I asked Grant, I said, Grant, what's going on with Ovi? And the mood last night after a 6-2 victory over Utah was somber. Alex Ovechkin, the celebration was on, scoring goals 14 and 15, but with 5:30 left in the third period, Alex Ovechkin had to be helped off of the ice with what Dr. Russell is calling a leg injury. Now, the team is officially listing him as week to week. Ovechkin will have further evaluation with team physicians on Wednesday in D.C. So we will get some insight as the week moves on as to just how severe Alex Ovechkin's injury is. But I will say this. Anytime you see a competitor with the toughness of Alex Ovechkin have to be helped off of the ice, you can read into it that it's probably a pretty big deal. Keep it locked right here on the Team 980 for the rest of today and all week long to get the latest on Alex Ovechkin. And hopefully this isn't something that causes him to miss an extended period of time. But you can only keep your fingers crossed. Hockey's weird with how they disclose injuries and how close to the vest they like to keep things. But I can just tell you from listening to people talk around the building here today and then knowing how rare of an occurrence it is for a guy to get helped off of the ice, especially a guy of Alex Ovechkin's caliber, you can only assume that it's something massive. Speaking of the Caps, their roommate over at Cap One Arena, the Washington Wizards, boat race last night, 134-106 by the New York Knicks. They trailed by as many as 34 points. Was the ninth straight loss for the Washington Wizards. And Coach Brian Keefe, pretty irked postgame. We'll let you hear from Coach Brian Keefe as well as Kyle Kuzma before we get out of here. But I'll say this quickly on the Wizards before we move on to the stadium stuff. I was promised a team that was going to compete, a team that was going to play defense. The Wizards through the first stretch of the season have done neither. So something's got to give here. The return of Kyle Kuzma to the lineup, shocker, has not helped this group at all defensively. But if you got to watch, and I retweeted it on Twitter, it's at NELL_BTP. If you got to watch post-game last night and you saw the facial expression of head coach Brian Keefe, it reeked of a man that had just cussed his team out in the locker room before coming to address the media. So we will hear from the head coach of the Wizards, Brian Keefe, as well as Kyle Kuzma, a little bit later on in the show, but we got to party. Well, you all have to party because you all know how I feel about this. The lead is this. The Commanders move one step closer to a return to RFK with the bill passing the Senate committee, advancing to the Senate floor for a full vote. Today was huge. I'll be honest with you. For a guy, and I've been open, honest, and transparent about my feelings about this. For a guy that could care less where the stadium's going to be, I understand why today was massive. Huge, huge, huge for the Commanders' hopes of building a stadium at RFK. They still need, you know, the Democratic majority leader to give the bill a hearing on the floor. But today was huge. Today was huge. And the team released a statement via a spokesperson, and it went as follows. It says, today's result is an exciting and significant step forward for the city of Washington, D.C., as it looks to gain long-term control of the RFK site. The Commanders have been fortunate to have interest from three incredible jurisdictions, as we search for a new home and stadium. The vote today brings us one step closer towards continuing conversations with D.C., along with Maryland and Virginia, as a potential home for our franchise. Beautiful statement, beautiful results. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this, because this is where I have taken issue with the stadium conversation since its origin. First of all, one part of my frustration has already been solved. What was the number one thing I always said during the offseason, during dead periods about the stadium and a rebrand? Win some games first, and then we can have viable, credible conversations about rebranding and getting a new stadium. Well, when you look up at the standings, Washington 7-4, they seemingly have found their long-term answer at quarterback, and it feels like the right people are in place from a football standpoint to where, you know what, I'm okay now engaging in this conversation. We can get into the nitty-gritty about it because the main thing is the main thing, winning football games. And that seems to be separate from this conversation. And in years prior, it was not a separate conversation. It felt like something that we lumped all into one big pot of Commander's gumbo And we got to chew on that as well while complaining about other facets of the team. But as we sit here on November the 19th, 2024, the timeline of a new stadium still very much is in question. So if I'm not mistaken, the lease at Northwest Stadium does not expire until 2027. So that is 2-3 more seasons. When it comes to where a new Washington Commanders stadium will be, I think we got to find out the timeline first of when the team actually has to be out of Northwest Stadium. I think that, to me, is first and foremost. And then secondly, as eager as we all are to have a new stadium, as eager as we all are to get some new digs, I want it too. Like, I care about it. I do. I just don't care about it as much as you guys do. But it's radio. It's part of the job. I get it. As much as we want a new stadium, the one thing that I don't think we've spent enough time discussing, my number one question, now that DC has the ability or is getting close to having the ability to build a new Commander Stadium, the number one question to me is, who's going to pay for it? We'll discuss that next here on the Team 980. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Hoffman Show, right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking it up to 6:30 before we dish things over to our coverage of Hoyas basketball. Coming up in about 45 minutes, our pal Mitch Tischler, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast, going to join us to talk all things burgundy and gold. We'll ask him about the big news of this afternoon. The Washington Commanders are moving, or have moved, one step closer to a return to RFK with the bill passing the Senate committee, advancing to the Senate floor for a full vote. And it feels like right now, based on the quote from the team spokesman, based on some conversations folks in this building have had with folks over in Ashburn, today was a very big step in the eventual return of Commanders football to Washington, D.C., a massive, massive step. A step that, quite frankly, a couple of months ago, we didn't know whether or not this day would happen because of Senator Steve Daines. And I know the usual host on this radio program proverbially put his foot up Steve Daines' ass a couple of weeks ago, and I loved it, loved every bit of it. Now that Steve Daines and his positioning, his stance has changed, we can now shift our focus to what really matters when it comes to the Commander Stadium and where it is going to be next. Because see, as exciting as this is for the fan base, as exciting as this is for the team, some of the players, I'm sure, some of the ones that are from this area, like a John Allen, a Cleveland Farrell, guys that know how important the district is to the franchise, it means a lot to you. But the one thing I will not omit, the one thing I will not forget about, is someone's got to pay for this. Stadiums do not come free of charge. Shocker, right? I know some of you all believe that, but no. In order to have all the nostalgia return, in order for all the feels to be back like the old days, it's going to cost a pretty, pretty penny. And my question now is, well, who does the pretty penny come from? It is my belief, and I've long said this ever since we first engaged in stadium conversation, I've long said that, look, Josh Harris and the 21 limited partners, in my opinion, should foot a majority of the bill for a new Commander Stadium. They should. It's the right thing to do. And I understand a lot of the times in our society, the right thing doesn't always happen. Well, guess what? This is one of those times where not only do I think the right thing will happen, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the right thing must happen. If Josh Harris and Mark Ein are genuinely stewards of this community the way that they sell themselves to be, this is the perfect opportunity to help DC's economy, to help Maryland's economy, boom. Not just some small return on an investment. I'm talking about an economic boom. That is the potential that a new stadium has, whether it's in DC, whether it's in Maryland. I look at DC in particular in terms of who could use the economic boom the most, because I walk around DC every day. We work here. This city is not in the state that it should be from an economic standpoint, from a safety standpoint. So there's work to be done. There's plenty of work to be done. I think Josh Harris and the Washington Commanders, if they choose that DC is where they want to end up, I think they should foot a majority of that bill. Now, if Maryland is where this new stadium ends up, and let's be real here, Maryland is a very real possibility as well. I'll even take it a step further. I think Maryland may be the more realistic location for a new Commander Stadium. But the bottom line is this, whether it's in D.C., whether it's in Maryland, if this community and team means so much to Josh Harris and the Josh Harris ownership group, what a perfect chance to invest in it and make it a safer, better place to live. I'm Linnell Willingham, and I approve this message. Seriously, though, like this is the difficult conversations that must be had. And I understand some folks are worn out by the stadium conversation. I understand some folks are like me, where I really could care less, right? I'm a tax-paying citizen of D.C. and Maryland. So it is what it is. Someone's going to have to foot the bill, right? I understand the nostalgia. I understand the potential benefits, but when we look at it from an economic standpoint, it's got to make sense. And to me, that is what I care about most. This new stadium project making sense financially, whether it's in Maryland or DC. And notice I am quietly omitting Virginia from the conversation. I think this is a DC and Maryland discussion. The question is this a DC and Maryland bidding war? And if that is the case, which jurisdiction is in better position to fork out public funding for a new stadium? That matters in this conversation. It's not all about the old RFK. It's not all about how you used to look when you used to go to the old RFK. It's not about any of the memories. It's a part of it. But in the grand scheme of things, the reality is this is a financial decision. The bigger question is, what kind of financial decision is this? Because there are benefits for DC. There are benefits for Maryland. So I understand why both jurisdictions are eager to house the stadium. I get it. I get it. Totally. My thing is, which jurisdiction is in a better position to fork out public funding for it? And let's just be honest here, right? Let's use the Tennessee Titans as an example. When you talk about what type of money is going to be spent, the new Nissan Stadium is estimated to cost $2.2 billion. How does this money break down? $1.2 billion is coming from the city of Nashville. $140 million are coming from the Titans. And that's kind of how they're piecing that thing together. But in reality, right? Let's just put DC and Maryland in Nashville's position. Who is in, if I was to ask you straight up right now, knowing the state of DC and Maryland, which jurisdiction is in a better position economically to fork out $1.26 billion? I think we all know the answer to that question. So it then leads me to this. First and foremost, who should pay for a new Commander Stadium if it ends up in D.C. or Maryland? And then the other question I now want to look at is who is most likely to get the new stadium? Is it D.C. or is it Maryland? Like I said, Virginia is not a part of this discussion. I just don't realistically think that the Commanders are willing to get in bed with Virginia to get a deal done. Now, the one thing that we talked about a lot over the summer when this conversation came up is there are a ton of benefits and there are a ton of drawbacks to bringing a stadium to D.C. I'll look at D.C. in particular right now. Jobs will be created. There are more opportunities for the city to make money. And like I said at the top, it is a massive opportunity to benefit the local economy. Why is that important? Because if you bring in more money as a jurisdiction, if you're DC and you can bring in more money and the economy could boom, guess what you now get to do? I don't get any more notifications saying that DC public schools are defunding extracurricular activities. I don't get any more notifications saying that DC is defunding Metro or defunding the police. That to me is what it is all about. That to me is what it is all about. Which jurisdiction needs to help the most? And I get that's just a fraction of the conversation, but it's a big part that I care about. But there are a bunch of different things at hand with this. 301-230-0980 is the number. Who should pay for a new Commander Stadium if it ends up in D.C. or if it ends up in Maryland? And then when we get back, I'll tell you which jurisdiction I think is most likely to end up with the new stadium. Your calls plus my thoughts next on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Hoffman Show, right here on the Team 980. We're also streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for Craig Coffin. We'll take you up to 6:30 before we dish things over to our coverage of Hoyas basketball. Coming up in about a half hour, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast, Mitch Tischler going to join the program. We get Mitch's thoughts on the Burgundy and Gold in their two-game slump, plus what we are discussing right now. Today was a massive, massive day when it comes to the return to RFK for the Washington Commanders. So when it comes to the return to D.C. for the Washington Commanders, today was huge for the Commanders' hopes of building a stadium at that site. But there is one hurdle that I will admit I have probably not done a good enough job highlighting, and it's as follows. This is from Eric Flack, our pal at WSA9. Eric Flack says, sources close to the Commander Stadium pursuit say today's committee vote huge, but biggest hurdle is finding a way to insert this RFK bill into a larger spending bill for passage with 9 days left to go in session. This is no easy task. If it doesn't happen, if they cannot find a way to get the RFK bill into some larger package, then DC's long-term control of the RFK site goes right back to square one, which would be dramatic, drastic, and it would mean all of the excitement we have right now would be for nothing. So I say all that to say, while it feels as if we are inching closer to a return, or to a potential return, rather, to D.C. for the Commanders, still a long ways to go. Still a long ways to go. My gut feeling is this in terms of who I think is most likely to get the new stadium. My vote all along has been Maryland and Westmore. Westmore and the state of Maryland, I think, have the resources as far as public funding goes. I also think from a land standpoint, they've got more to offer. It's not just about the stadium, right? Remember this. They're building a sports and entertainment Taj Mahal, as I like to describe it as. Meaning, it's the stadium, then it's a restaurant district, then it's hotels, then there are surrounding businesses. When you look at D.C. in its infrastructure compared to Maryland, Maryland has always been in far better position to maximize the project, is the best way that I can put it. Maryland has always been in the driver's seat because I think they have the best ability to maximize the project. Now, here's the other part of this. This is what we'll open up the phones on. 301-230-0980. Who should pay for a new Commander Stadium, regardless of where it ends up? Whether it's in Maryland, whether it's in D.C., who should have to pay for it? And this is what I kind of want to get into here because that's where the discussion gets interesting to me. Josh Harris, Mark Ein, two guys that are from this area, two guys that grew up rooting for this team. They understand more than anybody how significant the Commanders are to this area and how significant the Commanders are to D.C. in particular. I make the jokes all the time. There's so much nostalgia around RFK and where the team was from a win-loss standpoint during that era and how good they were and how they brought this city together and how it was one of the most difficult places to play in all of professional sports. I get all of that. But that to me is just nostalgia. In reality, when we look at the drawbacks and then potential benefits of a stadium coming to D.C., I happen to believe there are far more negatives than there are positives. That's just my thought. Now, I could be persuaded on this because I'm not some guy that's going to come up here and pretend to know everything about the situation. But when I put it bluntly, when I put it in layman's terms, so to speak, it seems pretty cut and dry here. Whichever jurisdiction is able to pony up the most public funding, it would seem like that is where Josh Harris and this ownership group would be more inclined to go and build. But, like I said, Josh and Mark Ein are from here. Josh and Mark Ein understand the potential economic benefit it could have to D.C. And that's the only reason I care about this stadium potentially being in D.C. Because while I do believe there are some major drawbacks, right? I do think from an economic development standpoint, from like a civic pride standpoint, it can be extremely beneficial to the area. You got to spend money to make money. And I understand that's a difficult concept for broke people like myself to understand. You got to spend money to make money. So when it comes to D.C., and as a guy that uses the Metro, as a guy that has cousins in D.C. public schools, it means a lot to me. It does. I go to work here. I have family here. I eventually want to move here and live here long term, even as a Maryland resident. This area matters to me. And I believe it matters a hell of a lot to you all as fans as well. Not just from a football standpoint, but from a, hey, this is where I live standpoint. Hey, this is where I spend a lot of my time standpoint. It matters. It matters. And the one thing that this area needs that I continue to bang on the table for is we need more outlets for our youth. We need more opportunities for our youth. How do we get that? By pouring more money into teachers, schools, after school programs, things of that nature. That's what the stadium could help bring. If they get a real legit return on their investment from the stadium, you're going to see the economy of D.C. benefit greatly from having the surrounding businesses in the area. The potential drawback, though, is, well, look, stadiums bring limited economic benefits, right? It's not something that will benefit you year-round, right? Because let's be honest, if it's in D.C., right, the kind of venue that they want to create, is it going to be something they can host concerts and things of that nature when football is not in season? That's my question. What happens to the space when the Commanders aren't playing there? Can they host concerts? Can they have other ways to get ticket gate and ticket revenue there? And I'm not so sure. But when you look at the opportunity cost of the whole thing, and now I'm sounding like some type of economic professor, but bear with me here. I just feel like there's no guarantee if you put it in D.C. and if you put it in Maryland, for that matter. There's no guarantee when it comes to these massive stadium projects. There's no guarantee that you will see a real legit return on your investment. That's what turns people away. We'll open up the phones to you. 301-230-0980 is the number. A lot to chew on here. Who should pay for a new Commander Stadium, whether it's in D.C. or Maryland? And then who do you think is most likely to end up with the new Commander Stadium? D.C. or Maryland? 301-230-0980. Let's go out to Tink. What's up, Tink?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you calling.
I agree with a lot of what you have said this afternoon. And I think it's going to really come down to economics, like you say. Because, see, what some people forget, Josh Harris and them, the owners of the team, they already own the land and the stadium in Largo.
Right.
So that is a factor that that's going to weigh into what they decide to do, because they already own the land, and they probably could build the stadium themselves right there on the land. As a season ticket holder, as several of us, we've talked about where the new stadium could be built, right there on the land. When you look at the old RFK site, I think the first problem that one has to consider, if you're going to build a stadium, RFK held 55,000. If you're going to build a stadium that holds 65 or 75,000, do you have the way to expand the land, or are you going to build higher? People already complain about nosebleed seats. So I don't see how they can widen the footprint without a massive infrastructure in terms of changing the road network around the current site in order to widen the footprint to build a bigger stadium.
I agree. I think we're on the same page here. This is why I continue to say, if it comes down to Maryland versus D.C., you can put all the nostalgia, you can save that and tell it to somebody who cares. Financially, in terms of cost and what you could do, I think Maryland and the infrastructure they have and the land that they have is more realistic in terms of what they want to ultimately build.
Right. Plus, the other thing is, I don't see how they can improve the road network near the RFK site. Back in the day when the team played there, traffic was a mess on game days.
But this is the thing, Tink, and I appreciate the call, brother. This is the thing. If those of you out there that are going to complain about traffic, have you been to any major sporting event at any stadium? There's traffic everywhere surrounding stadiums. So that, to me, is not something that's a determining factor in terms of whether or not a stadium goes somewhere or not. And traffic is a small thing to a giant, is the best way that I could put it. 301-230-0980 is number. Let's go to Ed. Ed wants to tap in. What's up, Ed?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good.
My opinion is very simple. If it's a dome stadium, it should be in D.C. If it's an open-air stadium, it should be in Maryland. The reality of it is that a dome stadium will be a year-round event scenario. But an open-air stadium is only there for those select games they play, and then, you know, some during the really good weather situation, you have concerts. But I think that, you know, the primary person who should be paying for this should be, you know, the Harris Group, because they're building the they're in the process of trying to build a $1 billion plus arena for the Sixers. If you have $1 billion to finance it on your own, you should be able to do with this huge group that he has for the Commanders. He should be able to pony up at least 3/4 of the money.
Well, Ed, let me not to cut you off, Ed. Let me add this to what you're saying. The difference, right, is in this Commanders ownership group, there are 21 limited partners. The Sixers, it's just him and Blitzer, isn't it?
As far as I know he's the primary. I know he is.
Him and Wolf Blitzer, I know, are the two guys that are, you know, they got their media company that they, their ownership group, basically. That Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. And they are allegedly going to finance the whole thing, you know.
For the Sixers.
I'm saying that. Yeah, for the Sixers.
So they're going to finance a
$1 billion scenario.
So I'm going to have to fact check you on that, Ed, but that is a very, very key piece of information. I appreciate the call. 301-230-0980. Yeah, if they're going to they ponying up the money for the Sixers stadium, you bet your ass you better have the money for our stadium. Where are you from, Josh? You're from here. 301-230-0980. Question is simple. Who should have to foot the bill for a new Washington Commanders stadium? The taxpayers or the ownership group? More of your calls. Plus, we'll hear from super producer Anthony Haney next. 301-230-0980, the number here on the Hoffman Show. Right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 6:30, an abbreviated edition of the Hoffman Show as we get you warmed up for Hoyas basketball. Coming up at 6:30. In about 10 minutes, we'll go out to the guest hotline for the first time. We'll hear from our pal Mitch Tisler, one half of the Beltway Football Podcast. We'll ask Mitch about the Commanders' two-game skid, including what is the reason this offense has taken a major step back the last two games. And then we'll ask him about what we're discussing right now. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Today was a pretty big step in terms of when it comes to the hopes for the Commanders building a stadium at the old RFK site. They move one step closer with that bill passing the Senate committee and advancing to the Senate floor. The issue that exists is in 9 days from now, that bill has to be a part of a larger package to then be either be approved or denied. And the question and the hesitancy is, and the question rather, is whether or not that thing gets passed, whether or not it's able to become a part of a bigger bill. Our guy Eric Flack of WSA9 has done a tremendous job kind of giving us some ins and outs on what's going on with this. His last tweet's from about 20 minutes ago. I read it earlier. I'll read it again. It says, sources close to the Commander Stadium pursuit says today's committee vote huge, but biggest hurdle is finding a way to insert that RFK bill into a larger spending bill for passage with just 9 days left to go into session. Not an easy task. If it doesn't happen, DC's long-term control of RFK and that fight that's been going on for a while now goes right back to square one. So with that being said, 301-230-0980, who is most likely to get the new Commander Stadium? And then who should have to pay for it? Who should foot the bill if that new Commander Stadium ends up in D.C. or Maryland? D-Dub wants to tap in. What's going on, D-Dub?
Hey, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, listen, bro. Let me tell you something, man. I used to live about 2,000 feet up from, as a little boy coming up, at RFK. The Redskins was playing dead. I'm gonna go ahead and put my age out there. Heck with it. I'm an old brother.
How old you is, brother?
Hey, tomorrow's my birthday, man. I'll be 71.
Happy birthday, OG.
Thank you, my friend. But watch this. I got three balls that Frank Howard hit out of RFK in the parking lot that I have right now. And let me tell you something. That guy was complaining about the traffic. Man, let me tell you something. Every game, every event, I don't care what was there. How many people was there? 45 minutes, everybody gone. Because you got six ways out the city. All of them lead to the highway. Every avenue leads out the highway to Virginia, Montgomery County, Maryland, back the other way to the country. And who going to pay for it? I'm going to tell you who's going to pay for it. I mean, yeah, Magic and the boys, they're going to have to fuck up some money. But D.C. ain't letting that go because that one word I just said, M-O-N-E-Y. They're revamping the Wizards place, and they're going to revamp that too.
My thing is this, though, right? My thing is this, D-Dub. Is this the best use of the taxpayers' dollar? That's what I keep wanting to hit on here. Is this the best use of the taxpayers' dollars? Because I got cousins. I ride the Metro. They done taken transit police off the Metro. They done replaced them with people in pennies, licensed to carry. Yeah. I want police. I don't feel safe. Yeah. There are so many other issues that are plaguing D.C. and Maryland that to put that much money into a stadium, not guaranteeing a return on investment, that's just hard for me to stomach.
But I'm going to tell you something else is going on, too, that's going to help. I mean, that's hurting. The people that live around there, they don't want the people, the traffic, all the noise. They don't want it.
Well, I don't blame them.
But I guarantee they don't want it. I'm going to tell you that off the break. They don't want it. But it's going to happen, man. They don't own the city.
They don't. And
this
I think the bigger thing is, too, and I'm playing devil's advocate here because I do understand that there are some economic benefits to the stadium project, too. It brings in business.
Yes,
it's creating jobs. I get all of that.
Yes,
but is it doing that year-round or is it only doing that while football is in season? That's my question.
If they put, if they put a dome there, which I know they will, because the reason why, D.C. has been trying. We got everything in the world to have the Olympics in Washington, D.C. The only thing we don't have is a dome.
Yep.
If they get a dome there, the Olympics will come to Washington, D.C. It's money.
And then
dog.
That brings you more money. And I get that. D.W., I appreciate the call, brother. We're up against it. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Little. What's up, Little?
Yeah, what's going on, big fella?
What's going on, man? You owe me some money, man.
Could be a possibility, man. But you know what, big fella?
Yeah.
I stay up on top of all my bets now. I got to see it on X if I owe you something. But look, let me help the last call out. The people that don't want it are the ones that's further away from the stadium. That Eastern Senior High area.
Mm-hmm.
And all that little area going to get built up. New playground, new basketball courts. Man, bring it on. And Josh, man, this is what I'm hoping Josh do. Linnell, go back to how it was back in RFK Stadium. I'm going to share a little story with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get off the phone. See, back then, it was freelance for the vendors. When Snyder came in, he took over all the vendor stuff. You know, he took money out of pockets of guys like myself because I was a young man working over RFK Stadium. Started off selling peanut cotton candy. RFK Stadium was the only stadium that sold cotton candy back then. Well, no other stadium in the league that sold cotton candy, but RFK Stadium do. Make a long story short.
Now, okay.
I end up selling beer. I started off at the age of 14, and I worked all the way through RFK Stadium until I was about 30. That's my part-time hustle job now. I'm a federal government worker.
Right.
32 years, but that was my hustle on
Sunday. But the whole thing, what you're trying to say, Little, people need those opportunities. I get you.
There you go. Now, let me say what's going on back then, because back then it was called B&B Stadium Services. But as a vendor, you came to the stadium with your own money, Linnell, to try to flip it.
Okay.
You feel where I'm going?
Right.
Snyder took all that back from people, man. That hurt people's pocket. It was a union, too, because we showed up in our little orange jackets, and we had to pay our little union dues.
For sure. Sunday. For
yeah,
sure.
Then we get to work, but you had to have money in your pocket to flip money. Now, every time the Redskins scored, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, when they scored touchdown, man, them folks over there paid $20 for a beer. They you keep the change.
For sure. Winning makes everything better, Little. I appreciate the call. 301-230-0980. Joe, we'll wrap us up before we get to Mitch Tissa. What's going on, Joe?
So my heart is with DC.
Joe, you sound like Josh Harris. Hold on, Joe. You sound just like Josh Harris. Is this Josh Harris? And did you screen this call properly?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not Josh Harris.
Does he not sound like Josh Harris? A little bit. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. So
especially that
heart is with DC. All right. But I will tell you this. They already got plans in the works for the Maryland property. They own the land. It's not an uphill climb. I've got it on very good authority. This is already a done deal on Maryland.
So why are they? So is this like financial posturing right now?
PR campaign.
Is this financial posturing?
PR campaign. Yes, there's some of that, but there's also a PR campaign to let the people that want the stadium in D.C. to know that we tried.
Right, okay.
But ultimately, we couldn't do it.
Okay.
But the financials speak to staying in Maryland, as much as I don't want that to happen.
Well, Maryland's in a better position from as far as taxpayer money, and then they already own land there. So you wouldn't have to fork out as much.
Exactly.
It's a tough thing.
You don't have to deal with Congress and that whole mess.
Exactly. It's a much cleaner cleaner transition. I agree. 301-230-0980 is the number. Before we hit the timeout, I didn't realize this, and I don't know if you knew this or not. So, 76th place at Market East, that's where the new Sixers stadium is going to be. The Philadelphia 76ers are paying the entire $1.3 billion cost of the project. The city is providing no funding, and the Sixers will make annual payments in lieu of taxes that average $6 million per year. Oh, and on top of that, they're investing $50 million into the city's schools, neighboring communities, and businesses. So if Josh already has that mentality in Philadelphia where he's not from, I would have to think that he's got major, major plans for D.C. or Maryland. First hour in the books here on The Hoffman Show. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. It is a Tischler Tuesday here on The Hoffman Show. We'll be joined by one half of the Beltway Football Podcast, Mitch Tischler. We'll get his thoughts on Stadium Gate as well as what is wrong with this Washington Commanders offense. All that and more coming up next here on the Team 980. 5 minutes past the hour here in our nation's capital. It's a Tuesday afternoon edition of The Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally